Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. We'll call this meeting of the, well, we won't call it to order because we don't quite have a quorum, but we're going to get started with testimony. I know folks are busy. There's lots going on, and schedules are full. So we'll start with Representative Erickson and team. Come on up to the testifiers table, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, for hearing 2702.
Well, welcome to the Capital Investment Committee today, Representative Erickson. Please go ahead with your presentation.
This is a proposal for Pease, and I'm not sure if you know where that's located, but it's north of Long Siding. And if you ever listened to Boone and Erickson in the early days of CCO, they used to crack the joke about why does it take the train so long to get from Princeton to Malacca? That's because it stops in Long Siding and Pease. I brought with me the mayor of Pease, who is a former student of mine also, and we're making a request today for bonding dollars to construct, furnish, and equip a water tower, a replacement water main, the extension of sewer and water services to city residents, and other capital improvements to publicly owned water and sewer infrastructure in this little town that is famous for its Pease Cafe. If you're ever traveling north and you want to have a great home-cooked meal, please stop at that cafe or buy your appliances at Kiel Hardware. And maybe Mayor Kiel will do some more promotion. But it's a great little place to stop. It's kind of the home grounds of former Representative Leroy Kopendreyer, because the Dutch did settle around Pease.
Yes.
And then there's an additional request for an emergency alert system. This little town has to send its residents out, primarily the mayor and some others who will testify, to alert people when there is a weather emergency. They do not have an alert system. So, Mr. Chair and members, that's the crux of this proposal. And with that, I'd like you to hear a little bit from the mayor, Diane Kiel, about this need.
Thank you. Please introduce yourself for the record and go ahead.
Hi, I'm Diane Kiel, Mayor of the City of Pease, and I thank you all for your time and letting me share my story with you at this time. I have been mayor now for the past four terms, and in these past four terms, I've dealt with many different things, as you all would know, but in the last year, some of the most devastating things that I can imagine has happened, to this little town. I've watched the neighbor's house across the street from me burn down, and there was nothing we could do to save it. Due to the fact that we have no infrastructure to be able to put this out, Princeton, Malacca have to haul the water into the town. In this last year, we've lost three homes, and we've also lost a major business. The business was not able to rebuild into our town due to this fact. We also have a parochial school there that's been there for 100 years strong. It's an excellent school. We've had many excellent students come out of it. And if that school would start on fire, we have no way of saving it. So I guess I'm asking for your help. We need your help. If we don't get some help, this little town isn't going to be there. And it's my home. So at this time, I'm going to turn it over to our city engineer to talk with you.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Please introduce yourself for the record and go ahead.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and committee members, and thanks for allowing us to speak today. My name is Tim Corby. I'm city engineer for City of Pease. And again, thanks for having us. I also serve many cities throughout the state of Minnesota, from cities like Williams, Grand Marais, they've done work in Leroy, and all the way down to Worthington and everywhere in between. I've been doing city engineering since 1984, and am the incoming president for the state's engineering society, ACEC. So, to say the least, I've worked for many, many, many cities since 1984, and I can look each of you in the eye and say this is definitely the most desperate situation I've seen in the state of Minnesota. But the fact of the matter is, not having a fire suppression system, it's really a worst-case scenario. When they built the original system, my opinion is that the funding agency at the time didn't have the adequate funds to put in a water tower and water suppression system, so they gave them this system. Then, of course, you had the development, but unfortunately with the development, when there is a fire, there's no way to put out the fire. So as the Honorable Mayor stated, you know, their main business, their main industry in town burned down here, was it 12 months ago?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then, you know, three of their homes have burned down, which is a pretty large percentage for a town of their size. So, again, the desperate need for a... So what we're proposing is to put in a water tower, water suppression system. We've talked to other people about building in our town of Pease in industry, but without a water suppression system, really there's no way to bring in other development and save our town. On a side note, again, very desperate times in Pease, our post office, too, is moving out. And you say, well, what does that mean? Well, what that means is if this occurs, all of the residents and businesses in the city of Pease will have to literally drive 6 days a week to Malacca to pick up their mail. So, I mean, we're trying to save the post office, the businesses, the homes, the town. And literally, I'm looking each in the eye, without this bonding bill, I really think we're going to have to close the doors for the city of Pease. So I guess I just kind of ask on behalf of the city of Pease that you seriously consider this bonding bill to save our community and let us put in a water suppression system. So thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Krogan. Let me interrupt for just a moment. We do have a quorum. I'll call a meeting to order. Representative Dean, have you reviewed the minutes of April 19th?
I have, Mr. Chair.
And do you move their approval?
I move their approval.
Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And opposed by the same sign. Minutes are approved. Please introduce yourself and go ahead.
Mr. Chair and fellow committee members, my name is Richard Baker, and I'm the Community Development Director for Mille Lacs County. I'll add to what's been said so far in the fact that, you know, they have a major industry of a cabinet maker in town that moved out about 4 or 5 years ago out of the county. 65 employees approximately. They still do keep about 10 or 12. They have like one line of their cabinet making shop still there. They moved out because they didn't have the water system in place. They could not do fire suppression in a cabinet making shop. And so we lost that tax base and that those employees out of our county in an already economically depressed county before we got hit with our tourism issues of that county. So, there's an opportunity that business would like to expand back. There's approximately 80 acres that are in the city limits that if we had a water tower and the fire suppression system in place, they could expand and build not only commercial but residential homes. In fact, there's 22 and a half acres that lies right next to the city limits, 300 feet from Highway 169. So there's just opportunities for this community. But if you go to their downtown right now, the Peace Cafe, great place to eat, and you'll sit with the locals at an antique table. But they'd like to expand to cover their breakfast and lunch rush hours. There's that whole block. If you look at that block, you got the Peace Cafe on the east side, and on the west side is Keel's Appliance, and the rest of that block is all empty now because of the fire and other devastation they've had. So, and like I said, we can't build anything back without that water tower, and that's really the key to success for this community. And that school district, the Christian School District, over 100 students. Some of you guys may have known Ameriprise CEO Dave Hubers, who recently passed away. You know, he was born and raised in Pease, graduate of that Christian school. And like I said, lots of opportunities, but this community just is teetering right now. You know, without some help, they've only got 242 residents, and their entire budget for the city is $68,000. The city clerk who sits behind us works 9 hours a week. The mayor, you heard about the mayor and the city council running around knocking on doors when there's a early warning sign, need. But the mayor and the clerk are out there mowing the yard, and actually on Thanksgiving morning, their 500-gallon pressure tank that they have for the water system went down. They had to run around town they went and got to Walmart, bought water, and ran around town to every home handing out gallons of water and telling these poor women that we're working on the system to get you water before your Thanksgiving dinner, but we can't make any promises. So like I said, that's just some of the things that are going on, and my hat's off to these elected officials who do more than any elected official has to do for their community to try to survive.
Thank you, Mr. Baker. We have a question from Representative Hausman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I don't know if the mayor who could answer whether you're on a PFA list for any part of any of these projects.
I can answer that. No, we are not. One of the problems is to get on the PFA list, it does take money to do a facility plan, and they don't have any money there. Keep in mind their entire budget, and that includes all the salaries and operation maintenance and streets and everything, is $68,000. I mean, I think most of us operate more than that in our house. So the bottom line is, in order for me to get them on the PFA list, right now I've been volunteering even my time the last 6 months trying to get them to get some money to get this project rolling. But my estimate to do a facility plan to get on the PFA list is around $30,000. So that's the answer to your question. They're not on the list yet, but we need something to get this project going.
Representative Hausman, a follow-up?
And then maybe to Ms. Dyson, since most of these things we haven't seen in bills before, something like a siren, would that be bondable or would that require cash?
Ms. Dyson.
Mr. Chair and Representative Hausman, it has the look of equipment, which is not bondable, but also the bill itself doesn't actually specify where it comes from. I am assuming that it's general fund appropriation because the bill's appropriation amount is $1.975 million, and that's the bond sale authorization amount as well. So I think the bill itself was indicating it should have been general fund appropriation.
Thank you. Representative Erickson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. To respond to Representative Hausman, the City of Malacca is working with Pease on the infrastructure for sewage, and that would be a possibility. But the other is still within the purview of Pease and their responsibility. So the water tower, to design, construct, furnish, and equip the water tower and replace the water main would be something I think that we could look at more definitively than the whole package, if that would be acceptable, perhaps, when we are putting together the bonding bill.
Thank you, Representative Erickson. I do not see any other questions. Any closing remarks, Representative Erickson?
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair and Committee, for hearing this proposal. It is important to the well-being of not only the City of Pease and its many residents and the wonderful farmland that surrounds it, but also to Mille Lacs County, which is in a bit of a hurt at this time. So I would hope you would consider that, too. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Representative.
Thank you very much.
Thanks to all of you for coming today. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Oh, time for this one.
Is he in charge?
He's a good
I would like to move House File 3951 to be laid over for possible inclusion.
I think likely.
Thank you, Chair Torkelson. To your bill.
And thank you, Mr. Chair. 3951 is really a very simple bill. As most of you are aware, we have in the past put money into the local bridge fund. The local bridge fund has a priority list, and the average cost of a bridge funded by local bridge fund is about $670,000. Once in a while in the past, we've had very large bridges, local bridges that are local bridges, but they are very large projects, and when they are approved for local bridge funding out of that fund, they really take a very large percentage of the balance of that fund. Now, the intention of this bill is not to eliminate larger bridges from funding, only that larger bridges be given separate consideration by the committee and be put into a bonding bill as separate line items rather than be funded out of the local bridge fund. The $5 million figure is one that I talked to a number of folks that are interested in this sort of issue, and they seem to all kind of coalesce around that $5 million figure. And again, this is not an effort to eliminate anything. It's just an effort to preserve the fund for what I believe was intended to, which is bridges all across the state of Minnesota. With that, Mr. Chair, I would stand for questions.
Representative Dean.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Chair Torkelson. So when I see this and I see a $5 million limit as someone who represents a large urban area where our bridges are actually very big and have thousands and thousands of cars traveling over them every day, when we begin to create this $5 million limit, you mentioned that there would still be opportunities for these to be funded in the regular portion of a bonding bill. But at the same time, couldn't you achieve the same thing by just increasing the amount of money that's placed into a local bridge category and fund?
Chair Torkelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Dean. That's true, but as you probably also know, the timing of when bridges actually get funded can vary quite a bit depending on the design, development, engineering, actually getting contractors in place to do the work. I just think it's more appropriate use of the funds for that local bridge fund to be available for these smaller bridges as they come up and eliminate the chance of a large bridge, you know, kind of sucking all the money out of the fund and making it hard for those smaller ones to move forward in a timely fashion.
Representative Dean.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Chair Torkelson. So I'm just trying to wrap my head around this. If we created a larger pool of money from which local bridges could be funded, when the time came for a significant bridge that costs $20, $25, $30, $35 million in some of the larger urban areas, if that fund was larger, that those monies would be available at that time. I've only been here 4 years, but I found it seems real common that urban areas are frowned upon in many ways, and this seems like an opportunity for maybe squeezing out some of those bridges that are so critical to commerce in the big cities throughout Minnesota, and I just have a little bit of concern about this.
Sure.
No question there, I guess.
Okay. Representative Lugenius.
You've outlined your criteria for.
Could you speak into the mic?
Yes.
Thank you.
You've outlined your criteria for the local bridge replacement account. Could you outline for us your criteria for the large bridges that would be in an urban area?
Well, first off, as far as the smaller bridges, as you know, the Department of Transportation does keep a priority list on the bridge fund, and so they have vetted those projects and know which ones are ready and have determined which ones have the highest priority. In the case of a larger bridge, it's up to, again, with the help of the Department of Transportation and through their presentations to the committee and to me as chair, that we would vet those individually.
Representative Wiggins.
So if the Department of Transportation, then they set the criteria for is the bridge ready? And I understand that is a good criteria. Is it needed? And let's assume those two pieces are settled. What then is the thinking for going forward? What other things need to be considered?
Chair Torkelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Wiggins, well, that is the process of assembling a bonding bill. We always have, at least in my memory, more bridges on the bridge list than we have funds available to disperse in order to build all of those bridges. We build as many as we can afford to build. And in the case of the larger bridges, they make their case like any other bonding project. And if the urgency is deemed to be significant enough that the committee and the governor and the Senate all decide that a bridge is worthy of funding, it gets funded. It's a competitive environment. We never can fund anywhere near all the requests.
Representative Wagenius, follow-up?
Just when you say all the requests, do you mean all the requests for bridges or all the requests in a bonding bill? I get that. But bridges are a major public safety issue. So are bridges kind of seen as a category, or are they just a bridge is in with everything else that we do?
Chair Torkelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Wagenius, I would really say both, that they are a special category. You know, we have some history here in Minnesota with bridges that has made them, given them extra poignancy and extra consideration, and we have in some cases moved more quickly with bridge projects than we otherwise would. In fact, there are still a few of those critical bridges that are still on the list and need to be taken care of, and we're hoping to get as much of that work done as possible. But at the same time, they also compete with everything else because of there's only so much to go around.
Representative Wagenius?
Thank you.
All right. The member from Champlin, Representative Uglum.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And to you, Mr. Chair. It's my understanding that this bill with the $5 million cap is primarily designed for the smaller local bridges, which could be suburban bridges or rural bridges and everything else. Mr. Chair, there's no cap right now on the on an individual bridge spending for a major bridge like Kellogg or the bridge across the St. Croix and things like that, is there?
Chair Torkelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Uglum, that's correct. There is no cap right now. I think it's also important to remember that in a rural setting, generally, all of the larger bridges are trunk highway bridges, and they're funded out of the trunk highway fund. That changes dramatically when you get to the metro area, where many of these major bridges are actually on a local road, on a local street or road. So it's a dramatically different scenario or situation in the metro, and I think that part of the reason for this reasoning behind presenting this legislation is that we recognize that difference and address, kind of separate those larger local bridges that are mostly in the metro area out from competition with the smaller, more common local bridges in greater Minnesota.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other members? Representative Dean?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Chair Torkelson. So if we're excluding these larger projects that are in the metro area, most of them that are local roads, they would not qualify for funding under our under the highway, the trunk highway fund. So we're actually beginning to sort of narrow the pool of money from which these bridges can be funded within a bonding bill, and I mean, is there a way of creating a different fund for large bridges in the metro area?
Chair Torkelson.
Mr. Chair, Representative Dean, I suppose that would be a possibility, but because of the size of the bridges, for that fund to be usable, functional, it would have to be a very large fund, and that would be very challenging to set aside. You know, to set up a bridge fund that was large enough to address these multi-million-dollar, I should say more than tens of millions of dollars for one bridge project. I just think it's appropriate that they be addressed individually because of their size in relation. Remember, the average size bridge that is funded out of the bridge fund is $670,000. These bridges that we're considering this year, in one in St. Paul and one in Minneapolis, are tens of millions of dollars. The contrast is so dramatic that I just think this is the appropriate way to address it.
Any other member questions?
We've only got $600 million.
Yes. We'd like to, Chair Torkelson, do you have any testifiers that you have brought with you today?
I do not, Mr. Chair.
All right. We'd like to open it up to the general public, if there's anyone from the public or anyone that would like to come up to the testifiers table. Please come up, and we'd like to hear what you have to say. And please state your name for the record. And who you're with.
Mr. Chair, members, I'm Dan Larson,
I am the administrator of the Minnesota Rural Counties Caucus, 28 counties that advocate for rural concerns, greater Minnesota. We are here in support of Jared Torkelson's bill today. We actually have a our policy actually supports the creation of a larger bridge fund for bridges above the $5 million level. But the bridge bonding scenario has turned into, has evolved, I guess, into what are the larger bridge projects and then what's left for the rest of the state? What do we need to get, what needs to get funded of the larger bridge projects to generate support for the bonding bill? And then, too often, there's what's left really isn't adequate for the rest of the state. So we would support this bill for consideration as a fallback position, but ideally you'd create a larger bridge project and recognize that there is a difference between the larger major bridges and the bridges that we would use in greater Minnesota out of the fields or out of the forest to get to that next step, to get to the county state aid highway system, to get to the value-added co-op or the next phase in the production. Key element to the economic development in greater Minnesota. So we appreciate Representative Torkelson bringing the bill forward, and we hope to support it. You state your name for the record, ma'am.
Mr. Chair, members, Emily Pugh with the Association of Minnesota Counties. On behalf of AMC and the Minnesota County Engineers Association, I'd like to offer our sincere thanks to Chair Torkelson for bringing this bill forward. The County Engineers Association supports funding of the Local Bridge Replacement and Rehabilitation Program. The Local Bridge Program is in high demand. We are hopeful that this bill will help the committee move forward in putting the necessary funds and resources into the program in a way that best assures the greatest number of local bridge projects can be completed. We also recognize and support funding for the larger bridge projects that are currently seeking funds from the program, and we encourage you to find a way to also invest in those larger bridge projects. We understand the intense competition for limited funds, but want to emphasize the effect this program has on the safety of our roads and bridges across the state. In order to help achieve that safety, we are supportive of a substantial bonding proposal that funds the local bridge program. Thank you.
State your name for the record.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Ken Sewell with the Minnesota Association of Townships. Townships have approximately 6,000 of the 13,000 bridges to the state. That's a significant proportion. 400 and plus, I think it's around 420 right now, are on the deficiency list. We very much support strong funding for the bridge, local bridge program. And when you try to compare one of our small town bridges with a large city bridge, it is very difficult to strike a balance there, and yet they are equally important to their communities. And that's why we do appreciate the thought of having two separate accounts, two ways of funding. By no means are we looking to shut out our big brothers and sisters in the metro area, but we are also very concerned that it's hard for our bridges to compete statistically. If you're strictly looking at vehicle miles traveled, we're never going to make the cut. It just doesn't work, and yet our bridges are equally as important to our region. And so put it in real perspective, the three bridges that are currently in the works, if you will, for the large bridge programs would nearly fund every single town bridge on the list. And that's just the reality of the numbers that are out there. It doesn't make one more important or less important. It's just the reality of the differences and the fact that we need funding for roads, we need funding for bridges, and this just makes it a little easier for the small ones to fit within their category and another category perhaps for the other bridges that would be funded at that level as well. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Are there any questions for the testifiers? Chair Torkelson, to your bill.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And just to reiterate, a $5 million cap on bridges funded out of the local bridge fund is the intent of this bill. And of course, there certainly can be smaller bridges in the metro area. This is not necessarily a metro versus rural issue. It's more of a mega bridge, as we have called them in my office, budget busting bridges compared to the smaller bridges. That's what it's about. No intention to avoid funding anything, just an intention to recognize the difference. With that, Mr. Chair, I move the bill for possible inclusion.
All right. Thank you, Chair Torkelson. All right. With that, we'll adjourn for the day and enjoy the rest of your day.